today's sermon has the title, Whose Body Is It? Whose Body Is It? The Christian world constantly adjusts itself to accommodate the view the world has of it. It's a very general comment, but it is true. Actually, Christianity looks very different to how it did 50 years ago. If you came in this place 50 years ago, would it have been different? Yes. Christianity turns out in many churches to be a mix of their denominational culture, their traditional culture, influenced by the view of the current world round about. It wants to stay relevant. And this is not necessarily wrong. However, the big question that we have to ask ourselves is not how this person would like it or this person would like it, how we should dress, how we should appear, how we should worship. The big question is, how does God want it? Do you agree? Yes. It's His church. Now, I've always committed myself not to shy away from divisive or controversial issues, and my word is it got me in trouble. I am still committed to that. I also hate being controversial just for the sake of being controversial. But actually, I have learned if you duck current issues that thrust themselves in from the world, they normally come and hit you, and normally with bad timing. So, whose body is it? Let's, first of all, we're going to read, we'll put it on the screen, from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I hope this is going to work for us. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Belial is a certain name for Satan. What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will live with them and will walk among them, and I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. At the moment, I'm reading through the book of Exodus. I have to say that some detail about the construction of the tabernacle is not the most exciting part of the Bible I've ever read. And it has spread now over several days. But you know the overwhelming thing that comes through to me, and I happen to know ahead, to know that in a couple of days' time, we're going to read that bit where the glory of the Lord comes down and the tabernacle is filled with His presence. This particular passage that we've just read reminds me of the earlier part of Exodus where the people have defaulted from following God and have built themselves a golden calf and bowed down to it. And this is the cry of Moses. If you do not go with us, I don't want to go from here. What an amazing comment. And it flies in the face of some traditional teaching that says God is omnipresent. Now, actually, I do believe He is. It is true that if you go down to hell, He's there. If you go up to the highest heavens, He's there. Psalm 139 says that. But then if He's everywhere, why was Moses bothered? Fair question? And He was not saying, what matters to me most is to be successful. What matters to me most is that Your presence would go with us. And this passage just reminded me of that, that you would walk among us. I would be with you. Now, you could, and some do, take a passage like this to mean we should start a monastery. Well, that's a complete, I don't even want to comment on it, it's just a completely unbalanced view of the scriptures. We are here to change this world. Amen? However, I want to lift the screen up a bit, don't I? Sorry for those that are getting in the way. I want to experience the Father walking among us. Some of us have fathers who we walk closely with. Others have fathers that through life we become alienated from. The issue actually is not whether you have a father. The issue is, do you walk with him? Are you so at one with him that you do that intimate and personal thing just for the pleasure of walking with him, walk with him? That's the real issue. And I will walk among you. This passage we read then closes with these interesting words. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit. What an interesting phrase. That I could have possibly a contaminated body. Unpurified. Well, the Bible says that we are made, we all know this well, spirit, soul, and body. But it is true, because it is part of our culture out there and in our churches, we are influenced by Greek philosophical thinking that says the spirit and soul are more important than the body. That this is the soul and spirit will go to heaven and this part won't. Wrong. Any idea at all biblically that your body is not important is wrong. The Lord loves your body, your physical body. He created you with it. Who gave you the right to say that one is more important than the other? There is a tendency, forgive me for repeating this, there is a tendency to say it matters most that I love God in my heart. No. It matters most that you love God, spirit, soul, and body. Find me declarations of worship that don't include what you do with your body. Come, let us kneel before him. Let us lift our hands to him, etc. So the body is important. It's not more important, but it is important. It tells us this. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, I've made this quote in the past, and I've had people actually say this to me. When it says that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, what it really means is your body and your heart and your soul and your spirit. Well, it might. But it says, what does it say? Body. The trouble is, the moment that you shifted, we were singing only a few moments ago, before we were singing He Was a Good, Good Father, about filling this temple. The Bible makes it very clear, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We come from a background that doesn't like to think that way. But when your thinking does not agree with the Bible, what should you do? Change your thinking. Don't change the Bible. It's an amazing thing, this. So the scripture says, Romans 12, verse 1, do no longer conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What are we to do in order to present your body as a living sacrifice? It is your body that God wants. Now, you could try to interpret it. The problem you've got is that it says body. And when it says body, it means... does. You see, it's actually... I understand why people say heart rather than body. But if you make the heart the dwelling place of God and not the body the dwelling place of God, you will begin to permit things that are ungodly. So we could read in... By the way, let me just say this. We live in a world... I'm going to dig myself a hole. It is dead easy to be convinced that our sort of fuddy-duddy, old-fashioned, traditional ways are out of date and they need amending. But please understand, everything this world invents is not better than the past. It is not. And actually, I'm not interested in protecting the past. Again, my heart's longing is that we would know how to be the temple of the Holy Spirit and walk in his presence. That's a fundamental aim. So let's take another scripture. There are a number of scriptures that says our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. I'm sorry, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, listen to this, but for the Lord, the body. And the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said the two will become one flesh. He who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. You have got to understand that what I do with this part of me during the week has a direct bearing as to how comfortable temple I am for the Holy Spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body. But he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are not your own. Whose body is it? You are not your own. Therefore, honor God with your body. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred and you are that temple. I'm quite fascinated. The scriptures seem to reveal a truth that is amazing, that no spirit is complete without a body, both evil spirit and good spirit. The Holy Spirit looks for a body to dwell in, just as much as an evil spirit, when driven out of Legion and no other human being is permitted to be the home, they then beg, well, please give us the pigs, but give us a body. Your body was created to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we don't need to follow world trends. Now, I guess, here we go, I'm going to do the next bit, then run. And I guess that people will think that, having read that passage from Corinthians, we are most likely to be talking about sexual behaviour. We are not. There is a trend that is sweeping this world that the church is strangely quiet about. It's the modern trend of having your body tattooed. Anybody first guessed it? Oh dear. Do you know, this is amazing. Last Sunday, I, for reasons that only need to be known to me, I sat there not because of anything that was going on here, but something that happened previously, thinking, Lord, you really, 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 really don't want me to preach a sermon on tattooing, do you? I was confronted later in the day by the same thing. I'm thinking, oh no. I dismissed it from my mind. I am well aware you can dig yourself a big hole. You can understand now why I'm going to speak and then going to run. I have got no idea what Martin Wells has got inscribed on his bottom. And we don't want to know. Sorry, I should have said back, shouldn't I? You know, something amazing happened. I could have killed him. But George said, can I speak to you in the week? And we met to talk about an hour together. And then he said to me, I give you, well, George, you're here, you bear witness to this. He said, do you mind if I asked you one more question? No, he said, what does the leadership teach about having our bodies tattooed? I say that, George bears witness to it. I thought, oh no. So I said to him, if you want to know, you teach it. Now listen, you need to listen to me so very carefully at what I'm about to say. One of the massive problems with dealing with this issue is those that are in their past life at some point have had their body tattooed at this moment will feel very exposed. And everything within us doesn't want to address this, because church should be a place where people feel loved and safe, forgiven and healed. But there is also a danger that because you deal with sensitive issues, you actually end up never addressing them either. And that can't be right. Thank the Lord that when we repent, whatever our history, he forgives us. And some of you have done way more appalling things. Some of us have done way more appalling things than having our body tattooed. But it didn't leave a lifelong mark. It can be hidden. May every one of us find forgiveness in Jesus Christ and walk forward into the future. Amen?
Amen.
I realise that this would create major issues to some. Please don't release this to the press. I'd be really grateful. But I find the generation in which we live today one of the most unbelievable, arrogant generations that I have ever listened to. In the Gay Britain thing that has been on BBC, God help them. I am appalled at some of the documentary stuff. As if anybody that opposes any form of liberal living is some kind of dinosaur that wants to repress the past, and there are these people fighting for people's good. When actual fact, I believe that what we're ever doing in any circle is bringing ourselves into greater bondage, not freedom in Christ. And of course, it's easy to say that here. So what does the Bible say? If you read Leviticus chapter 19, verse 28, it says this. Do not cut your bodies for the dead or put tattoo marks on yourself. I am the Lord. Now that's it, there you go. It says it. However, we have a problem with that scripture. It goes something like this. If you're reading a King James Version, it won't say tattoo. It more rightly translates it, don't put marks on your body. Now that's perfectly valid still. Actually, the reason why the King James says that is because it was written before the word was invented. And of course it says don't cut your bodies. And so to overemphasize this scripture would be a serious mistake. In fact, I would more confidently say what I'm saying today, based upon the way that the Lord spoke to me through George, than I would upon that scripture. However, we have to look at that scripture. And much of the reading that I've done this week tells me that we shouldn't take that verse too seriously, because it didn't mean that. It meant that in the pagan culture in which they lived, they would cut themselves, but it was also common among Egyptians and Canaanites and those that followed other false gods to tattoo their body for fertility rites and worship rites and other strange stuff. And that what God was saying in Leviticus through Moses was, do not be like that people, but follow me in all holiness. So don't overstate the verse, because in fact, if we're going to be honest, the verse above it says, don't cut your hair like this. But then the verse below says, don't use your daughter as a prostitute. And I am not for one moment going to, because you'd like to go home, or like to come to us for soup, I hope, going to say which verses from the Old Testament do we take and which don't we take. We do not have time to do that. Very valid study. But one thing you can be sure of is that while you can't be absolutely certain this refers to tattooing, you cannot be certain that it doesn't either. But that's probably the only reference that we have. May I read to you what the New Bible Commentary, which I use, says? The main focus of most of this passage, which I read about not tattooing yourself, is to exclude rites and practices associated with pagan Canaanite religion, particularly those which were physically and morally disfiguring. Abuse of the body in the name of religion is a widespread human aberration. The Old Testament, with its high view of the goodness of the body as part of God's creation, disallowed it. I was encouraged by the next line. I only read this morning. The New Testament reinforces the principle with the assertion that the Christian's body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, you could just say, oh, this is an art form. But you know what? We need to observe how the world is going. Paganism is massively on the rise. And in the secular world, it is modern and trendy. Paganism, we don't even have time. This is a worthwhile study. You know, I don't think we realize how many times the word pagan comes up in the Bible. One who follows an unknown God. A weird section of religion. And along with it come multiple practices. Now, I'm not going to say this as emphatically as I might even think it. But the trouble is that when a society starts to develop itself on a pagan pattern as a trend of modern fashion, the rest of the world walks after it without thinking what it's doing. For this, we need to be careful. For our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. By the way, when I started to prepare this sermon, I felt God said to me, and I'm hoping that you don't think I'm overemphasizing the Leviticus passage that says don't tattoo yourself. The Lord, I felt, said to me, don't teach them the law, teach them sensitivity to my Holy Spirit. Because our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We could make a whole load of laws. You know, your dress must be this long. You mustn't do this, you mustn't do that. You can drink this much alcohol, but not this much alcohol. You can do this practice, but not this practice. And how long would we spend doing it? Would it leave us any closer to God? You know what this generation is desperate for? are people that know how to walk with their Father, because the temple is filled with the Holy Spirit. And we need to develop a culture that says, not, is this acceptable, but Lord, is this pleasing to you? Is this sensitive to you? After all, whose body is it? It's the Lord's. In the past, I worked with a guy who I really like. And we were working on a really, really hot day, and I noticed that he was wearing a long sleeve t-shirt. And after a while I said, you look really hot. Why are you wearing a long sleeve t-shirt? I have never, ever forgotten his answer. I am so ashamed of what has been tattooed onto my arms. I actually said to him, do not be so silly, take your t-shirt off. It's absolutely fine. For those that have faulted, we need to love them and give them all the grace that is ever possible. But for those that have not, we have a responsibility to train sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. So our time has gone. And I wanted us to close with this, and actually we sung it. And so when we ask the question, whose body is it anyway? We also need to ask ourselves this question, and I feel it's related. And it's important that we get it. So what is resurrected? What is going to be resurrected on that last day? It's a fitting question for us to ask today. And I love this truth. I love it for multiple reasons. There is a certain, I think it's a butter advert, only it's not real butter, it's the pretend stuff. And you've seen the angel on the cloud. And do you know what? We talk far too much of heaven. God says he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. You're going to have a real shock one day if you think that place is going to be ethereal. I tell you, heaven and earth will be more real physically than we are with each other now. Resurrection, by definition, is the resurrection of your body, not your spirit. That's saved. Not only that, God's going to take this old one and he's going to create a superb example. So don't make light of the body. By the way, when he creates my new body, much of the damage that I have done to this one, that I need to repent of and acknowledge and say I'm sorry for abusing the temple, the new body is going to have all the old marks taken off. And that's really important. It's better not to have them put on now. Amen. Let's stand, shall we? Father, we stand in your presence now, asking that you would come and fill your temple. Holy Spirit, would you point out to us all, would you point out to me anything that makes you uncomfortable? Anything. We thank you for the forgiveness that Jesus brings us. Lord Jesus, thank you that you have promised to forgive us our sin and to give us new bodies. So now, Lord, would you help us not to be a legalistic people with a new set of church rules. Would you help us to know how to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit and lead lives that are truly free, but with an understanding that the body is the Lord's and it's for the Lord. So, Holy Spirit, we commit ourselves to you now. Would you bless us with your presence so that we may walk with you? Amen. Amen.